the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today's readings point out the need to repent, and that the time to do it is now. And we who have embraced the good news of the kingdom of God and have repented are well aware that we need to grow in our realization of what that good news means, and to grow in our repentance, grow in our new attitude. Now, that call to pause and take a new look at ourselves and what we do and of where we stand with God and what he wants us to do, that call comes to us in many ways, including the book from which our first reading this morning came, the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah in the Old Testament is a short book and worth reading when you get home sometime today. I recommend it. It should take less than half an hour, unless you're a very slow reader indeed. And it's a work of fiction. And even if it isn't one of the funniest books you've ever read, it's still full of fun. It's a parable. And so in all its fun, it does have a serious purpose. How do we know it's fiction? Main answer, read the story. And it will dawn on you, this is not an account of something that actually happened. But I'll give you another clue. The great city of Nineveh, and by the time the writer wrote this, Nineveh was long in the past. The great and hated city of Nineveh is said in the story to be 3 days' journey in diameter. How far could a reasonably fit adult walk in 3 days? It'd be fair to say, from Werribee to Dandenong? No city in the ancient world was remotely that big. Okay, so let's take a quick look at this book and what it's saying to us. When you read the first chapter, God calls Jonah to go and preach to that wicked city, Nineveh. And the writer is well aware that Nineveh was the height of wickedness and opposition to God and all that sort of thing. And Jonah, the prophet, is called to go and preach to it. And what does the good and holy prophet do? Does he say, "Here am I, Lord, send me"? Nope. He promptly heads to the nearest port, boards a ship, and goes off in the opposite direction to Nineveh, to run away from God. Well, at this point, at the time the story is written, every Jewish person knew that God was everywhere. Running away from God would have the audience killing itself laughing. Anyway, he does exactly the opposite. And God sends a storm. And so the sailors are pagan sailors are calling on their gods. And of course, the readers are supposed to be laughing at the idea of praying for these gods that don't even exist. And who is the one person on board who knows the real God? Oh, typical of the people of God, when wanted, not there. He's down in the hold, fast asleep. They have to go and wake him, these pagans have to go and wake him up and tell him to start praying. And he says, oh, it's my fault. God has sent this storm because I've been running away from him. And their reaction is, oh, what a terrible thing to do. They're shocked. Already the people of God have been having a dig at by the writer. And Jonah says, listen, it's no good. It's all my fault. Take me up, throw me overboard, and the storm will stop. And what do these pagan sailors do? Do they say, well, mate, you brought it on, your problem, we'll do exactly that. No, they don't. Instead, they do everything possible to get out of this and save Jonah. In the end, it all doesn't work. So reluctantly, they throw him overboard and pray to Jonah's God, the true God. Lord, we did our best. Please don't hold it against us. And at once the storm stops. And when they get to land that they've been struggling to get to out of the storm, they offer a sacrifice to the one true God in gratitude. Jonah, who is trying to avoid turning pagans into worshippers of the true God, has already got his first converts. And what happens to Jonah? Well, having been thrown overboard, he's swallowed by a big fish. And there, in the belly of the big fish, he makes a prayer. It's a prayer that goes on for the next chapter. And we're taught by the Jewish scholar, Robert Alter, that in the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, have a very close look at the way things are placed in a story. And if one story is put next to another, we're meant to see that as a commentary on both stories. Each story is reflecting the other. And so we're meant to see it here with what happens next in the story. What is the result? What is the comment on Jonah's prayer? It's enough to make a fish throw up. So the fish vomits Jonah up onto dry land. And as we heard in our first reading today, God calls Jonah to do the job, calls him a second time. So Jonah realizes he can't get out of it, and as we heard in today's lesson, reluctantly goes to Nineveh and starts on his journey through the city and preaches his sermon to call people to repentance. And what a pathetic sermon it is. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Plod, plod, plod. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. What a pathetic sermon. Okay, God, I've done what you told me to do. And the result is one, as I said to one of you before, that Billy Graham would have, the great American evangelist, would have given his eye teeth for. The whole city repents, from the king right down to the sheep and the cows and the goats. Even the animals are going around clad in sackcloth, being very careful not to eat any grass and so on. Starting to see that it really is a send-up, isn't it? Now, if you go on to read, and so God says, okay, I won't destroy them. And what's Jonah's reaction? If you go on to read the rest of the book, you'll see. Is he happy? No, he's absolutely furious. And so, basically he tells God, I warned you this would happen, God. He storms out of the city, sits down, and sees if God will come to his senses and destroy the city. And it's a hot day. And God makes a tree to instantly spring up and give him some shade. And then the tree suddenly collapses. It's attacked by a worm, or so the book says. And Jonah's even more furious. Not only has God not destroyed the city, even the air conditioning's broken down. And God has the last word. Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you're concerned about the bush for which you didn't labor and which you didn't grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Notice that Jonah also needs to repent. And so do God's people, is the meaning, because that is the message of the author in his day, that the Jewish people are to go out and proclaim the good news of God, the true God, to all the earth. Well, some of them did, but most of them took no notice. So the writer's having a go at the people of God, telling them to take a fresh look at who God is and what he wants us to do by taking a fresh look at themselves. And as today's gospel makes clear, God hasn't stopped doing that. He's telling you and me, through Jesus, to take a fresh look at ourselves, at him and what he wants, because the kingdom of God is already established and is going to be fulfilled. May God help us to ever take a fresh look at ourselves and to grow in repentance and to proclaim the good news of his love. The Lord be with you.